Hello and welcome once again to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Manona, and I bring you these Bible teachings through the ministry and financial earnings of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is the hand car washing business. You know us. We're over there in the Powell Shopping Center on Highway 11W in Church Hill. And there my wife and I own and operate the hand car wash, and we do it so that we can give you verse-by-verse Bible teachings. And there are many different ways that you can get these Bible teachings. You can go to, first of all, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com, washandword.com. There you can find all information you need about the business, about the ministry, about our history, our vision. All of our archived sermons are there to be downloaded and listened to for free. And so really, so I don't take up too much of our Bible teaching time, I just would steer you to the washandword.com website. But one thing I will mention, if you're in the area, in anywhere in the parking lot, whether you're over by the library or the gym, or, you know, just you got your pals lunch and you're sitting in the parking lot eating, tune to 107.1 FM while you're in the parking lot. You don't even have to be getting your car washed. We don't even have to be open. We play them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 107.1 FM. We play these sermons throughout the week on a loop. And we want this parking lot to be known as a place where God's word is going forth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So anytime you need to hear a word from God, come on down to the Wash and Word parking lot. Like I said, anywhere in this whole area, and tune to 107.1 FM. And hear a message from the Lord. All right, let's pick up where we left off. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. We're winding this book down, and Paul's in the third of three sections that chapter 15 is broken down into. And the first part of chapter 15 we looked at already, and again, go to washandword.com, and you can listen to these older messages that we've already recorded. But so the first part was the resurrection of Christ. The second part, Paul's dealing with the resurrection of the dead. And this last part in chapter 15, Paul's dealing with what the resurrection body is going to be like. And I think it's safe to say that we all know that the resurrected body that we're going to receive is going to be completely different than the one that we have now. Just as a fish cannot live out of water, nor we can live in water, each creature has a body adapted to its environment. And it's no different when we die and we become resurrected. We will have a glorified body that is adaptable and sustainable in a glorified heaven. And this is what Paul is trying to get this church and us to understand. So we left off in verse 39, which read, "All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish still another." And now we pick up where we left off, verse 40. "There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, the stars another, and the stars differ from star to star in splendor." So what Paul's doing here, we'll stop right there. He's just breaking down what the resurrected body is going to look like and differentiating that between other types of bodies. But then he takes it one step further and goes into an astrological aspect of it. And he starts talking about the sun and the stars. And I think he's doing that because he wants us to know that nature not only proves, but also defines what the resurrection is going to be like. Nature both proves and defines the resurrections. Nothing Paul has stated in those verses that I just read, in fact, this whole chapter, but in those verses I just read, nothing that Paul said is or should be foreign to any of us. I mean, it's common sense. It's knowledge. The sun has a different kind of light. The stars have a different kind of light. Each star has its own type of light, depending on how far away it is. Each body is different depending on where it lives, whether it be a fish or an animal or a bird or a heavenly body or an earthly body. And so this isn't attached or attributed to Christianity. This is for all to understand. This is common knowledge. Whatever belief or religion you are into or not into. And not only are these bodies different on a visible level, but scientists can tell you that they're different on a cellular level. Each species has a different cellular makeup. And of course, the term body here being used, referring to the heavenlies, isn't an organic body, but you know, we often call the body of stars a constellation or things of that nature. But even in the reference to the different bodies in the sky that he talked about, they have their own type of glory. They all shine in their own way, in their own unique purpose. They have their own unique purpose for existing. And everyone knows the difference in between stars and seeds and the flesh of an animal. And so with this evidence before the court, as it were, in a way, kind of the way Paul is kind of doing this, it's almost like he's building a case in a courtroom type manner. So with this evidence before the court, he now makes the unmistakable and very poignant connection in verse 42. He says, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, but it is raised imperishable." Now, I know the first part of that verse sounds a little bad, maybe a little degrading. "So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable." But listen, our bodies are perishing. This is a natural occurrence. They're breaking down. They're no longer able to do the things that they used to do when we were younger. Can I get an amen for anyone listening over 50 years of age? I mean, it's just a natural process. And though it may age and shrivel and break down, it eventually our bodies will die because we are a cellular makeup. But just as Peter has alluded to, and James and Paul and Jesus, they all have made some kind of reference to a seed, the fact that a seed must die in order for it to become something fruitful, something beautiful, something altogether different, something new. And usually that new thing is completely unrelated, unconnected, and unrecognizable to the thing that it was before. And so, yes, we are perishable, but we are also dishonorable. What do I mean by that? Well, in verse 43, Paul goes on to say, "It is sown in dishonor." And this is of course, connected to what he was saying in verse 42. Let's read that again. "So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory." But it does, interesting, you know, when we hear that, it is sown in dishonor, sounds a little degrading. I mean, I think of a dishonorable discharge, you know, like from the army or something. But honestly, what about our present bodies is Paul talking about here that is dishonorable? We are all decaying. That no one will argue that fact. We are all going to die. Nobody will argue that fact. And if we are buried or if we are not cremated, our bodies will begin to rot. The flesh will begin to rot. And if we are not buried and we are left out in a field or something, it'll rot. It'll become a stench. It'll be a virus playground as things will begin to swarm. There are whole chapters in the Old Testament of God giving Israel their instruction on how to deal with dead bodies, because a dead body is a very unclean, very dirty type of thing. And so we all end with these fleshly bodies becoming, in a way, dishonorable. This flesh is just what it is. It's flesh. And as it decays, as it dies, as it rots, it is a dishonorable thing that is taking place to our body. That's the bad part. The good part is we are not going to stay that way. This is just the body. This is just the shell of the part that becomes resurrected. The soul is the seed inside the body or the plant of our lives. The seed, the soul is the seed that gets resurrected. And nobody turns back to ashes or dust honorably. It is a process of decay and death and sickness and there's nothing honorable about death. Now, we can die honorably as a hero saving somebody else's life. We can die honorably, but death itself, the final result of death, is perishable, corruptible. It is a sinful flesh dying. But Paul doesn't leave it there. He goes on to say, but we will be raised honorable. So though our flesh may die, it may rot and stink and breed disease, we are raised. The seed of our soul is raised in glory. It is raised honorable. But not only that, he goes on in verse 43. He says, it is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. Sown in weakness. That's what he says about our present bodies. You know, for all of our strength and our ability, we are but just weak. And whether you're Samson or Steve Reeves or Muhammad Ali or Arnold Schwarzenegger, no amount of human strength can beat even the most tiny microscopic microbe that could infect a body and cause it to become sick or ill. Or cancer cells that are so small, no matter how big and powerful you are. Listen, we are sown in weakness. No matter how big and strong we are subject to decay and sickness and ultimately death. So yes, we are sown in weakness. No matter how strong or healthy you are, we are walking around with a vulnerable body that is prone and subject to weakness, to sickness, and ultimately to death. But he says it is raised, though, in power. And so we will be raised strong, though we are birthed weak. Verse 44, he goes on, he says, it is sown a natural body. He just sums it up right there. But it will be raised a spiritual body. So he says, it is sown a natural body. Well, what does he mean by that? What he's saying is it means that it's soulish. That is, not soulless, soulish. That we have a soul. We are sown in a natural fleshly body. Right now, our souls, our spirit, the part of us that is God indwelt within us, it controls our minds, our emotions, and our will. You see, even if God is not in us, even if we are not Christians, we are all controlled by our soul. That is, our minds, our emotions, and our will. We are led by a sensual compass. We do what feels good. We do what feels like it would do good for our body. We do what our feelings and our emotions tell us to do. It was designed to work together with and be controlled by the head, the control center of our body. So our mind controls our emotions and our will, and we just wear this meat suit, this earth suit. It's just an outer clothing, an outer wrapping. And it is used to convey the part of me that is thinking and feeling. It is just covering over that. Now, one day this meat suit is going to give way and is going to give out, and someone will proclaim at a certain time that I am dead. But here's the best part. I will not be dead. I will be more alive than I ever have been before, because when the spirit is renewed in the resurrection, all this flesh and decay becomes new. Then my spiritual suit and my spiritual mind and my heavenly body will all be designed as one to live in an environment God has prepared for us. And this is the essence of Paul's focus in the entire chapter. And when we tie this statement back to verse 36, he says, how foolish that you will try to reconcile what the body will be like when we die. And so, that's our time for today. We'll pick it up here and finish this chapter in our next teaching. But be encouraged, my friends, that we will be resurrected into a body and an environment prepared by God. Want to invite you to to Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. That's where I do my live verse-by-verse teaching. Till then, have a blessed day.